Father, that is our heart's desire, that we would see Jesus. If we meet together, if we talk, if we sing, but if we don't see your Son through your word, we've wasted our time. And so, Father, this time of year when it's easy to think about so many different things, the busyness of the season, the gifts, all of the craziness, help us to be reminded of our Savior Jesus Christ. That there is a reason that he came, that he was born of a virgin in the most unlikely of conditions for a king, in a humble cattle stall. And yet, Father, that he is the ruling king of the universe, that he sits on a throne and he reigns. And our desire, even this morning, for the next several minutes as we look at the Gospel of John, would be to see Jesus Christ high and lifted up. And that our lives would magnify him, they would appreciate him, they would exalt in him, we would tell others of this wondrous good news of the story of Jesus. And we would do all of this for your praise and your glory. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. You can turn to John chapter 1. I probably do not need to tell you this. This is something that hopefully you know, but is something that has become very obscured in our culture. And this is the reality that Christmas is all about Christ. And whether it's secular groups that no longer want to even call it Christmas, they want to call it Xmas or say Happy Holidays, whether it's the fact that many people, it seems like what they really look forward to is Black Friday and Cyber Monday. You know, we now have Giving Tuesday, and there will typically be millions of dollars given to nonprofits on Giving Tuesday, but it doesn't compare to the billions of dollars given oftentimes for many of us to buy gifts for ourselves. Some of you, if you follow world news, you realize that Black Friday and Cyber Monday are not even close to the biggest shopping days of the year because several years ago in China on 11/11, they started what they often call Singles Day because it's 1-1-1-1. And they encourage single people in China, where a big percentage of the people are single, to buy gifts for themselves. And so, for instance, last year, in the U.S., all the websites combined for Cyber Monday did about $7 billion in sales. This year in China on 11/11, Alibaba and JD.com, the two biggest commercial websites, say on one day, 11/11, they did over $60 billion worth in sales. In the first minute from midnight to 12/01, they sold almost $200 million worth of cell phones in China. So this has become a huge holiday. Just for people to buy things for themselves. We tend to get to the Christmas time of year and retailers and others see this as their month to break even, and it has in many ways become very much about sales. How many of you like wrapping presents? Does anyone in here like wrapping presents? A few of you. How many of you do not like wrapping presents? That's me. I put things in gift bags. It's a whole lot easier. We have started letting my kids, and here's some pictures from last year, but wrap their own presents. Shepherd is pretty good about it. So he was 7 in this picture, and he does a better job of wrapping probably than I would. Lillianne is very quick. My daughter, she just kind of throws things together, buys lots of gifts for different people, usually at the dollar store or whatever. We, of course, take them shopping. And my son Christian, who is 4 in this picture, he was wrapping a big red bowl for one of his aunts. And he kind of used the taco form is what he called it, I think, where he just kind of made a big taco, taped it all together. A little bit of the bowl was sticking out, but not bad for a 4-year-old. Sometimes we have probably received a gift and we look at it and it's so nicely wrapped that we almost don't even want to open it, right? You say, wow, that's such a good wrapping job. Or how many of you, your family tries to save the wrapping paper? Did any of you try to save the wrapping paper? That's it's kind of pointless when you have little kids. It's very hard to get them to unwrap in an orderly fashion. But if we think today about the meaning of Christmas and the incarnation, I think you realize, I would imagine you realize, that we are going out into a world that is more and more clueless about what even Christmas is about. For instance, I was searching for a good background for this message, and I went to Pixabay. You can get free pictures there. And I typed in, I don't know if you can see it there, but I typed in Christmas. And I was bombarded with hundreds and hundreds of pictures of jolly old Saint Nick and presents and more presents and more presents and little kids dressed like elves and lots of pictures of various food things, including fruitcake. I'm not sure of anyone who likes getting fruitcake on Christmas, but maybe some of you do. Ornaments, little ornamental bells, various little trucks and trinkets, Christmas socks that I could get, Christmas gnomes that I could order, a lot of pictures of candles, mittens and gloves and wintry types of things, especially for people who live in New England, lots of types of Christmas cookies. Again, all I searched for was Christmas, not Christmas cookies, fireplaces, wintry things like snowflakes, little nutcracker men, poinsettias, the reindeer, lots of pictures of reindeer, snow globes, lots of pictures of snow globes, various pictures of different types of snowmen, little Christmas villages. Some of you maybe go to the Biltmore to see their gingerbread display, which is pretty impressive, but lots of gingerbread homes and Christmas villages, lots of like hot chocolate and coffee and popcorn and even like Pinterest type really nice sorts of coffee or pine cones and cinnamon or trains like the Polar Express. Lots of pictures of little various angels and angel ornaments, a number of pictures of candles invoking Yankee Candle. I even saw a Christmas picture of a sparkler, which I thought those were for July 4th, but apparently there's something Christmassy about some of them. Pictures of Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse and lots of different Disney characters. Pictures of stuffed animals dressed in Christmas attire. A picture, you know, I think I mentioned before, reindeer. Even little Christmas penguins, that's a thing now. Christmas penguins. There were Christmas owls and Christmas seals, and of course Christmas horses. There were even Christmas polar bears that were reminiscent of Coca-Cola, little Christmassy birds, and lots of Christmas cats, okay, and more cats, and even cats made to look like angels. Not as many as the Christmas cats, but there were Christmas dogs. There was even a Christmas wolf. And I'm telling you the truth, I went through all of that, and that was, I think, 41 pictures I just showed you. I went through nearly 500 pictures. Finally, when I got to the fifth page, with 100 pictures per page, after scrolling in order through hundreds of other pictures of the types I've just shown you, I finally came to this picture, a nativity scene. And if you notice, even in that scene, Jesus is very, very small, and he's at the very bottom of the picture. And I would have to scroll through hundreds of other pictures to get to another picture with anything related to Jesus. And I would encourage you, even as a believer in this kind of culture that has minimalized Jesus, don't become so enamored with the Christmas wrapping that you forget the gift. That you forget that Christmas is all about Christ. John MacArthur outlines the book of John this way. I'm just going to go through this very quickly, talking about the Son of God, that all of John is about Jesus as God's Son. And particularly, you probably remember John 20, verse 31, the purpose statement of John, that he's written these things that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that believing you might have life through his name. Very briefly, in just a few minutes, I want us to look at John 1, 1 through 16. And read this passage together. In the first three verses, we're going to see the earth's creation by Christ. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him, verse 4, was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not, or could not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness to that light, that Jesus, the incarnate Word, was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And then in the 14th verse, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So the earth's creation by Christ, the world's rejection of Christ, and they rejected him during his day, they still reject him during our day. The believer's redemption through Christ, this is our hope and plea. This blood of the crucified Messiah, and then God's incarnation as Christ. That Jesus, that the eternal Word became man, that he tabernacled among us. And as we beheld him, he was full of grace and truth. And I want us to realize, even with the carols that we'll sing and the specific songs that we've chosen about God's incarnation, that ultimately, as we think about our theme of show us Christ, that there's no better time to think about that than during this Christmas season, when we want to rejoice in the God who became man, who lived among us, who lived a perfect life, who died a sacrificial death, so that we could become his son and his child and spend eternity with him.